بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله. May Allah give us tawfiq to learn more about the best of creation. After Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, who are none other than the disciples, the companions of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learn about this family. Allah give us tawfiq, and Allah, may Allah inspire us and enable us to have the correct family life, to have such a family that where we, together with our family members, husband, wife, children, together serve the same cause, together serve the deen of Allah Ta'ala, together aspire to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There's no greater bounty. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala teaches us about this in the Quran Kareem. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's akhlaq with his family members, with his blessed children, with his blessed wives, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu anhun. All of this teach us how as Muslims, family time, family life is important as well. But very importantly is this, that the family together must sacrifice for the deen of Allah, must encourage each other to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This family is known as the only family that together participated in the second bay'ah of Aqaba. We all know about the first bay'ah of Aqaba. What caused that was Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gush, his dawat, his efforts among the people during Hajj times. The Meccans would come to Uqaz, Majinna, Dhul Majaz, and then Mina, Arafah. So these were marketplaces, these were contests, these were wrestling matches, these were contests of poetry, these were gatherings where the Arabs would get together to sell and buy goods and merchandise from different areas that they traveled to, and that would then lead to Hajj times that were still part and parcel of the life of the Arab from the time of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So anyway, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam grew up in that area, in that region. That's why we are mentioning him, because from his time this continued. Whenever Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam would invite the different tribes to Islam and give them dawat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and amal and akhirah, he would always be hindered, his efforts would always be disturbed by the Meccans and by the seniors of Quraysh. They would come and halter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's efforts. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would escape them in giving the dawat. Because as he would present the message of Allah's deen, and he would recite Quran Kareem to different tribes, then these mushrikeen would take turns to come into that scene and then say to them, like Abu Lahab would very often do, that why are you listening to this individual? Don't you all know this is my nephew? I know more about him than you can ever know. And that would halter the efforts of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that would cause them to hurt him dearly. That's why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would conceal from them and meet the different tribes. One night it was very, very late, probably after midnight at Aqaba, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam met these six youth from Medina Munawwara. He gave them dawat. He invited them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were touched by his message and they took on Islam. They took on the deen of Allah. They took on the message of Islam. They returned to Medina Munawwara, made the effort of deen. And the next year, which was the 12th year, they returned with new brothers. So six of the previous year, this time five of those six returned with seven new brothers to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take iman and shahada at his hands, and they took the bay'ah. Then they returned, continuing their efforts. When they returned the next year, the year after that. So this, when they were 12, this was known as the first bay'ah at Aqaba. Aqaba on the fields, on the plains of Mina. The next year, when they returned, they were approximately 75 individuals. 73 men, 2 women. They returned. This is known as the second bay'ah of Aqaba. This family that we speak about is none other than the family of Zayd bin Asim. Hazrat Zayd bin Asim, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. From the 73 men, he was one of them, and amongst them were his two sons and his wife. So his wife was famously known as Ummu Umara رضي الله عنها أم عمارة رضي الله عنها نسيبة ونسيبة بنت كعب وتيسين نسيبة نسيبة بنت كعب رضي الله عنها. So Hazrat Zayd رضي الله عنه and his wife Hazrat أم عمارة رضي الله عنها and his two children كعب and حبيب رضي الله عنهما. They were of young age, tender age, and imagine their yearning desire. And this was the temperament of Sahaba, the mizaj of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. They would instill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in their children from a very tender age. That's why it's opportune to mention Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiyallahu anha, who would teach her child Hazrat Anas kalima and iman from a tender age. And she would recite the kalima to him in the home. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Imagine that. Allah Ta'ala, give us to think. What Qurbani Sahaba made? One day her husband, who was that time, at that time in the initial stages, when she just embraced Islam, her husband's name at that time was Malik, who was against the dawah of Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. So he comes home and Hazrat Umm Sulaym is teaching her child kalima and iman. He opposed this teachings of hers and he said to her, do not corrupt my child. She said, but I am reforming my child and I will not stop teaching him about Allah, our Creator. I just remember this incident of this elderly woman, Auntie Sakoon, passed away last year, but years ago, she had embraced Islam and she kept her deen and Islam private. And she would very often sit with her child and teach him Islam. And she would fast, but in secrecy. Years later, her husband got to know. Because her husband's father was a very strong or staunch priest in Hinduism. And when he saw the character of his wife and how she practiced her deen and maintained it for many, many years, alhamdulillah, a few years ago, he also embraced Islam. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala keep them strong on deen. Last year when she passed away, she made sure she told her family that I will be buried as a Muslim. So alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, our Muslim sisters made her ghusl and so forth. And when we gathered for her janazah by her house, most of her relatives were all non-Muslims. So they had gathered there and they didn't know what to do. So I sat with them outside the house and it was an opportunity to share a message of deen with them because they were awaiting what is to be done and so forth. Alhamdulillah. So among the messages we shared with them and the tilawat of the Quran and so forth is we said this to them with Allah's help that see how fortunate was this woman, was this aunt, how fortunate was she and how wise was she that she chose what pleases the Almighty. What pleases Allah, she chose that path. Many of us leave the truth, leave good deeds, leave good actions. Why? Because we fear the repercussion or we fear the reaction of people. But remember, when we die, no one's going to come with us. It is our deeds and our actions, and it is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. That is all. So look at her. She chose what pleases Allah, and she went against her entire family. Now she's gone. No one will go with her. And Allah, who she did this for, will shower His mercies upon her. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And these few words touched many of them, when many of them afterwards came to ask about Islam and so forth. Alhamdulillah. So Hazrat Zayd and Hazrat Umm Umara radiallahu anhuma would teach their children iman. Imagine these young children as they place their hands in the blessed hands of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taking the bay'ah of giving their life for Allah Ta'ala's deen. Imagine how fortunate, Ya Allah. So this was the only complete family who participated in the occasion of bay'atul Aqaba al-Thaniya, the second bay'ah of Aqaba on the plains of Mina. So among the delegation were two women. One was Ummu Umara radiallahu anha. The other was Asma bint Amr bin Adi. So Hazrat Asma bint Amr, she was known as famously Ummu Mani' radiallahu anha. And her husband was Khadij bin Salam al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. So as a couple they came, but their children didn't come. And interestingly, Hazrat Asma bint Amr radiallahu anha, she was actually the mother of Hazrat Mu'ad bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. Obviously from her previous husband before that. So at this time, who had embraced Islam was Hazrat Khadij bin Salam radiallahu anhu, who was with her on this occasion. How amazing it is when a family together please Allah and strive for Allah, whether it be in feeding the poor, whether it be in sharing the message of Islam with communities, whether it be in striving in the path of Allah, whether it be in teaching Allah Ta'ala's deen, the entire family together are serving the same cause and the great cause of Allah Ta'ala's deen. What an achievement. What a ni'mat, what a bounty. Let's beg Allah Ta'ala for this bounty. Sometimes it is one or two from the entire family. And how much of flak does the one or two go through? And then through that sacrifice, Allah Ta'ala brings the others. May Allah Ta'ala bless one and all with this bounty, where the entire family, like the family of Hazrat Zayd bin Asim and Hazrat Umm Umara radiallahu anhum, please Allah Ta'ala and serve Allah Ta'ala's deen. And because they pleased Allah Ta'ala so much, and together as a family served the cause of deen and the cause of iman and the cause of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them du'as. There was occasions where Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this entire family du'as. Allah's Nabi said, Barakallahu alaykum min ahli bayt. Allah bless this entire family. Allah bless your Ahle Bayt, your family. Family refers to what? Wife, husband, wife, children. That's what Ahlul Bayt means. Even Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Ahlul Bayt, of course his blessed wives are part of Ahlul Bayt. Because Ba'ta Yabitu Bayt are those who stay with you in your house. Ba'ta Yabitu, yes, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu were added onto Ahlul Bayt as well. But who are we to take out the blessed wives of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the terminology Ahlul Bayt? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to this family, Barakallahu alaykum min Ahli Bayt. Another amazing family, let's remember, Sahaba radiallahu anhum families who together would make qurbani for Allah's deen, for Allah's sake. Remember Hazrat Ammar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir. He was the son of Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu anha, and the father being Hazrat Yasir radiallahu anhu. Together the three were tortured for Allah's sake. Tortured in the cause of Allah Ta'ala's deen. For Allah Ta'ala's deen, for Allah's name to be raised high. And they did not succumb. And they gave their all for the pleasure of Allah, for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. When they were going through such torture, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go by and make dua for them and give them himmat and encouragement. And he said to them, Sabran ala Yasir. O Yasir, O Hazrat Yasir's family, sabr karo, make sabr. Fa inna maw'idakumul jannah, our appointed time, our appointed place, the place where we meet, guaranteed, wa'da, the place where we meet, guaranteed, is jannat. Allah Ta'ala, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them that glad tidings. The other family that together would please Allah Ta'ala was Hazrat Umm Sulaym, Hazrat Abu Talha, and their children would together strive in Allah's way and please Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us this achievement where we can get our entire family into the deen of Allah Ta'ala. We should beg Allah for this opportunity and beg Allah for this bounty. And when Allah blesses us with this, never think it's our achievement, but we should make lot of shukr. Shukr guzar we should be. We should appreciate these bounties of Allah Ta'ala. Hassan, Hazrat Abdullah, Hazrat Umm Umara radiallahu anha's sons were Hazrat Habib, Hazrat Abdullah, and Hazrat Tamim radiallahu anhum. Famous is the son of Tamim, Abbad. Hazrat Abbad, who is a tabi'i, he narrates from his father Tamim the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, Hazrat Abdullah says, he says, I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Uhud, and everyone scattered, and everyone were in different directions. He says, I went closer to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be by his side to defend him. It was me and my mother. Whose mother? The Sahabi Abdullah's mother radiallahu anhum, Umm Umara radiallahu anha. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Ibn Umm Umara, are you the son of Umm Umara? I said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to me, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, throw to them what's in your hands. So I started slinging towards them these rocks and stones. And this mushrik who was coming towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his conveyance, I struck with the stones, I struck the eye of his horse. And it was such a powerful blow that the horse started to throb and the rider and the horse both collapsed. And then I started casting him with stones repeatedly until I actually made a pile upon him. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at my efforts. And then he saw not far from there the wound of my mother on her shoulders. Allah's Nabi said to me, Abdullah, go quickly, ummak, ummak, tend to your mother, tend to your mother. tend to her wounds. اعصب جرحها. Tie her wounds tightly. Stop the blood. And then Allah's Nabi gave du'as. بارك الله عليكم من أهل بيت. What a أهل بيت you are. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless your entire family. May Allah bless your Ahl Bayt. So these parents really taught their children. On Hunayn, the entire family also participated. The sons of Zayd bin Asim radiallahu anhum and their mother participated in the expedition. They also took many of the mushrikeen captives. One of them, Hazrat Umm Umara, struck his neck because of certain reasons of what happened in the expedition. That's the bravery of this family. The parents would teach them dedication to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah bin Zayd, this family's one son, Abdullah bin Zayd bin Asim radiallahu anhu, he is known for the hadith of wudu, the famous hadith of wudu that he narrates of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous sahabi who narrates the hadith of wudu is Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, who narrated the hadith of wudu to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Ibn Ummi Umara, this son of Umm Umara radiallahu anha, Hazrat Abdullah, also narrates the ahadith of wudu from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to benefit the ummah thereby. So he participated in Uhud, Hunayn on many expeditions. And he also participated in ending off Musaylimat al-Kadhab. Now Musaylimat al-Kadhab was the imposter, the famous imposter who came to Medina Munawwara during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he didn't want to come and meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam properly. And he was very jealous of the honor Allah gave his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What Qurbani Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, those days he didn't see. And towards the end of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time in this transitory world, he came among the many delegations and with the people from his area. He also came. But he refused to come and show the respects to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still sent gifts and sent some ikram for him. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perceived the filth and the evil in this individual. As soon as he returned, he became renegade, and not only that, he claimed prophethood. And he started sending letters to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he started advocating this, calling to apostasy, calling people to believe in him as a messenger, and he would make up and fabricate verses of poetry, making his people think that these are verses of the Quran Kareem, na'udhu billah, or verses revealed to him, but it was apparent to those around him. But many started joining him because his tribe were a huge tribe in Arabia, the Banu Tamim. So they started supporting him just because of this aspect of Jahiliyyah, which is tribalism, supporting one just because one comes from one's nationality or tribe or people. Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow this. Allah Ta'ala wants us to stand up for justice, even if it be against one's children or one's parents. So anyway, many had fallen to the trials or this fitna of Musaylimah Kadhab. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted Musaylimah Kadhab to make tawbah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent messages reminding him about Allah, inviting him to come back to Islam and to repent. But he was too much in this love and this zest to want worldly honor. So he was deceiving his people. He had his tactics. He had his spies moving around, notifying him of who is coming to see him and about the background of people. So he would then notify people of their conditions because of his hidden spies that he had. And he would come to people in a form of ambiguity, where he would cover his face and veil himself and show a lot of try and gain a false respect. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent this great sahabi to meet him and to present Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter to him, to call him to make tawbah. And this sahabi was none other than Hazrat Habib bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. This young sahabi, he was in his 20s. He takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter and he goes and presents it to Musaylimah Kadhab. And as he presents the letter of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Musaylimah Kadhab, Musaylimah was enraged and infuriated by this, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling him to come to the truth, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was denying him the right of this man being a prophet. He wanted Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to confess to that, and everyone would then agree, na'udhu billah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that the lands belong to Allah. In al-ard lillah. Who am I to give you lands? All the lands, the entire earth, the entire creation belong to Allah. Yurithuha man yasha'u min ibadi. Allah gives lands and authority to whom He wants to. Wal-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. The outcome and victory in the end is the lot of the muttaqeen, those who are conscious of Allah, those who have taqwa. And in this, when he was infuriated, he asked Hazrat Habib, what do you say? Hazrat Habib said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then he said, what about me? Do you accept me as Rasulullah as well? Hazrat Habib said, never. How can I accept you as Rasulullah? You can never be Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the Nabi of Allah. He is the final Nabi of Allah. In this, Musaylimah Kadhab said, let me trial this Sahabi. Radiallahu anhu. Let me see the companions of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is their level of iman? Who can compare to the level of the iman of Sahaba radiallahu anhum? The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, the numbers of the men of Musaylimah were large, almost 30,000. He gathers them all. He wanted the Sahabi to succumb. He wanted the Sahabi radiallahu anhu to give in. Young Sahabi, he thought maybe he would be naive. And he starts questioning him. The Sahabi was placed in the center, shackled. He was disrespected, disgraced. And then he says to the Sahabi, whilst he was shackled, he says, Atashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Do you bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Rasulullah? He says, of course, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Loud and clear, not ambiguous in any way. He made everyone hear that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, what about me? Do you accept me? He expected the Sahabi to be awed by this environment of all his strength and his men around him and his numbers, that the Sahabi would take effect. Sahaba didn't take effect from makhluq. Do you accept me as Rasulullah? He says, you, Rasulullah, I'll never accept that. إِنَّ فِي أُذُنَيَّ صَمَمًا عَمَّا تَقُولُ. Regarding what you say and what you proclaim for yourself, my ears are deaf regarding that. I'll never accept it. Loud and clear, he made this announcement. Just recently, there was a Jamaat in our masjid. They were giving us a kar guzari of an area in Varalam where they were in the masjid, and one brother comes into the masjid. An elderly man, he was quite old, and he said to them, you know, how much I love Islam. He was a revert to Islam. He just embraced Islam a few months ago. He says, how much I love Islam. And I wish I have the opportunity that I can be on a mountain and make it clear to everyone how beautiful Islam is. Even if I were to be sacrificed on Islam, I would be prepared to do that. So the Jamaat were affected by the level of his iman. And then he narrated his story on how he became a Muslim. His son embraced Islam and was connected to the masjid and started to change his life and become a better human being, a better individual. His son tried to call him to Islam, and he was very hard against his son. He would chase his son, insult his son, and he would try hard to bring his son back to their creed, Hinduism, to such an extent that he tried to chase his son away. He chased him out of the house. On one occasion, while his son was trying to invite him to Islam, he said, even if I were to become paralyzed, maybe then I would consider this creed. He said, is that so, father? He says, not long after that, his father was paralyzed, the same individual. He says, I was paralyzed. I was rushed to hospital. And in that, my son came to visit me, and he reminded me. He said, father, you remember what you said? If Allah had to paralyze me, then I would consider. Father remembered. He says, yes, yes, I remember. Just there and then, he called the alim who brought him to Islam. He took him to the hospital, and this man recited the kalima and embraced Islam. This individual says that not long after that, Allah cured me. He says, now my life is devoted to the deen of Allah, devoted to Allah's deen. This man is such that he's so pabund on amal that he wants to make sure he's the first person in the masjid for Jumu'ah. To such an extent that the masjid near his house, the individual that comes there comes early, 8 o'clock, half past 8. He wants to make it first. So he only manages to come at 10 o'clock. So he goes to another masjid where he can make it first for Jumu'ah, because he wants the rewards of being first in the masjid. May Allah give us that love and that jazbah for deen, to practice the deen of Allah Ta'ala, to uphold the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this entire congregation, Hazrat Habib was asked by Musaylimah, do you accept Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the Nabi of Allah? He says, I told you already, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Loud and clear, he said. Then he says to him, what about me? He says, I told you, I have nothing to hear regarding what you have to say about yourself. Didn't I make it clear to you already? Openly he said this. He says, now you'll see. And as he poses the question the next time, he has his men to cut off the hands of the Sahabi. Then he asks him again, Hazrat Habib radiallahu anhu says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Again he cuts off another limb. Limb by limb, the Sahabi was cut up into pieces to such an extent that on the one side were his body parts, limb by limb, in a heap, and on the other side was the remainder of his body. And historically, it is stated that from his body that was just half left, the name of Rasulullah Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was emanating. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, Sahaba. Yeah, Sahaba. Radiallahu anhum. This is the Qurbani of Sahaba. Radiallahu anhum. They gave their everything. They gave their every breath. They gave their last breath. They gave their life for Allah's deen, for Allah Ta'ala's name, Rasulullah Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sunnah. This is Sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and accept us for his deen through the barakah of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So it was Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu and his men who strove in Allah's way against Musaylimah al-Kadhab. And then towards the end of the battle, Musaylimah took resort in this huge garden that was well fortified. It was a huge farm with lofty walls. And Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu followed them into this region. And alhamdulillah, it was Al-Bara bin Malik radiallahu anhu who insisted that he be casted into this huge enclosure. Imagine, look at this bravery and valorism. He went in and single-handedly fought against the many that were defending the walls and the gates and the huge doors of this huge fortress known as Hadiqatul Maut. And alhamdulillah, with Allah's help, he managed to open the handle and remove that piece of wood erected, barring the entrance, calling out takbir and allowing the Muslims to gush in from the main entrance. Alhamdulillah. Whilst this battle continued inside this fortress, known as this garden sort of thing, but it was a fortress and well fortified, alhamdulillah, towards the end, it was Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu who went for Musaylimah Kadhab. And the other was none other than Abdullah bin Zayd bin Asim radiallahu anhu, the brother of Habib radiallahu anhu, who also struck Musaylimah Kadhab. Historically, it's not exactly certified who actually ended off Musaylimah. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu casted his spear, which he was so professional in doing. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu anhu struck him with the sword, and it seems both of them struck him together. The spear of Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu and the sword of Hazrat Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And alhamdulillah, he was ended off. The Sahabi Hazrat Abdullah, the brother of Habib radiallahu anhu, who's the children, one of the children of this family, radiallahu anhum, narrated many other ahadith as well, like the famous hadith of Sahih Muslim in regards to the virtues and the barakah of Medina Munawwara, wherein Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implored Allah, O Allah, inna Ibrahim harrama makkata wa da'a li ahliha. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam sanctified Makkah Mukarrama and made dua for its people. O Allah, I sanctify Medina Munawwara, just like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam sanctified Makkah Mukarrama. And O Allah, I beseech you to bless the measurements of Medina Munawwara and the trading system of dealing and measuring sa' and mud of Medina Munawwara. Double that amount of the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So this Sahabi is Hazrat Abdullah bin Zayd who narrates this hadith. So we learn that the parents used to take their children from their tender age to learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us take this lesson, my respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This was common amongst the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The parents would occupy their children in deen. It's reported in the hadith, Hazrat Samura bin Jundub radiallahu anhu, he used to take his son Jabir radiallahu anhu. His son was very young, not even baligh. He used to take his son to the majalis and the gatherings and the discourses of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to make his son sit with him. Allah forgive us, today we say our children are too young, and then we end up leaving them at home, and then they sit at home on these gadgets that are destroying their iman, worse than actually putting a bunduk, a gun in their hand, or poison, or a dangerous dagger. More dangerous is the gadgets that we make available to our children at a very, very tender age. Allah forgive us. And what's our excuse? Everyone is doing it. Our children will insist on us. Who are the parents? And what are parents for? Allah forgive us. We're destroying the iman. They are being attacked and the iman is being bombarded from a tender age. And then we don't even give importance to their maktab education. Let us take our children along with us to meet the mashayikh, to meet the pious, to sit in the programs, to benefit. And like this, they'll gain du'as. They'll become close to the friends of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, his father would take him from a tender age to listen to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like that, he learned so many names of the pious narrators, and all this stuck in his memory. So this started from a very, very tender age, like we learn from the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Otherwise, many a time from these gadgets, they are being bombarded with such dangerous messages. So many inappropriate sentiments are being drummed into our beautiful, innocent children's minds. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Allah Ta'ala save us. Another sad thing, today we insist on our children in regards to worldly education, degrees, wealth. These things we emphasize and we enforce on our children. But then when the ulama encourage us, what about hifz for our children? Deen, maktab, and studying deen. Then we say, no, that is the child's choice. Allah forgive us. With regards to school and so forth, we don't give the child a choice. But when it comes to deen, we want to give the child a choice. Aren't we supposed to instill in them what is correct? What are parents for them? What is the meaning of tarbiyat then? Sometimes we succumb because of pressure around us and so forth, and because of the society. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time will come where a man will be given a choice to choose what is ajz or fujur, to do the right thing and be labeled backward, or join others in the wrong. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let them label you backward, but do what is right, do what is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us tawfiq. Also, we request one and all, be cautious in these times that we are facing. Really, it is trying times. Let's make sure we daily take our kulunji, sunnat practices of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and very importantly, let's prolong our sujood, prolong our sajdas. I was speaking to some senior doctors with a lot of experience, Dr. Chahansa from Newcastle, Dr. Chaya from Louis Trichard, and I asked them in regards to this, that is it true that the actual patients who are in need of a high dosage of oxygen, are they placed in the posture of sajda? They said definitely, when they are put in this posture, then they actually get better and the level of their oxygen increases and improves. So actually, how beautiful is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught lengthy sujood. We should make lengthy sujood, breathe in from the nose, strengthen the lungs, and exercise, eat healthy. This is taught in the Quran Kareem and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's make dua for the ummah, and we should be careful of holidays such as these. Many people in their drunkenness go to different places and do wrong things. Sadly, this is a confusion upon the world. This 25th December, it was actually celebrated by the pagans historically. They used to celebrate this day because it was like the shortest day of the world of the year, just after the difficulties of winter, and afterwards then comes other months and so forth. So they used to celebrate this day. And what happened, Constantine of Christendom tried to merge the two and bring all the people together. So he then fabricated this, attributing it to Christ, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But in actual fact, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was certainly not born at this time of the year. He was born, historically proven, either in spring or early autumn, where the sheep are tended to and so forth, out in the greenery, out in the beautiful environment of warmth and so forth. That's why it's clear that these days that are attributed is actually allegations and incorrect. And also, it's also a business scheme where people utilize these days and just under the name of religion take their own personal gains and benefits. Let's be careful in these times. Let's stay away from sin. Let's stay away from wrong. Let's connect to Allah Ta'ala. Let's remember our iman we should preserve and protect. And let's stay in amal and also stay away from sin, stay away from wrong, stay indoors. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Let's make dua for the whole of humanity. Humanity is in turmoil. Humanity is in need. Let's beg Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah, help the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, alleviate this pandemic. Oh Allah, make it easy for the whole of humanity. Wherever people are suffering ailments, challenges, hurdles, difficulties through this pandemic, sicknesses. Oh Allah, you give full shifa, kamil, ajil, da'im, mustamir. Oh Allah, you make it easy. Oh Allah, bring the non-Muslims to Islam. And also we request non-Muslim friends, like Christian friends we have, explain to them the truth in a polite manner, or request them to do the research, because this information is easily available to them as well. And like that, inshallah, how fortunate are we as Muslims that our deen, we have foundation, we have authority, we have a chain of narration, we have authentication. How pure and pristine is the deen of Allah Ta'ala, the deen of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this deen has reached us in such a pure, pristine manner. Really, my Muslim brothers and sisters, let's appreciate this deen Allah has given us. And let's not mize with it, but let's share it with humanity. Allah, give us tawfiq to be like the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, who preserved the deen, and through their fikr they took the deen to the four corners of the world. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to uphold their teachings and stick to their lifestyle and emulate them and revere them and follow them. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.